Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, welcome to, what are we on? Welcome to All Things Internet, gotta remember. Hi, welcome to All Things Internet, a show where we talk about things we see on the internet that usually have to do with the internet, and Emily gosh darn tries her hardest to fact check and research most things. Dog of the day is Blaze Boy, who does not like to share the spot on the couch. I have not showered yet today, I'm just gonna put this out there. You pause, because I know you want to ask me how I'm doing, I'm gonna ask you in a second. I haven't showered yet today, daylight savings is killing me. How are you, Rachel? Great, I'll tell you. Daylight savings. I love this, the time frame we're in.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely love it. Sunrise later, set later. Okay? That's my vibe.
Yeah.
But losing that hour has shifted me so much. I didn't get out of bed until 10 today, and that's my nightmare. Like, well, sleeping in until 9 is a lot for me.
Well, and I know you don't want to acknowledge it.
I'm not getting sick, Emily.
It's just a cute little, like, trendy cough.
Yeah, I just, it's for the vibes, okay?
I like it.
So, I'm struggling, but I wanted to work out today, but I won't work out if I shower. I have to work out and then shower.
Okay.
I cannot, if I have showered and put makeup on, there is no way in the words that I can't use on this podcast that I will then work out later.
Okay.
I have to work out first. And so, now you're getting, these are my pajamas. This is what my head and my face looks like when I wake up.
I like it.
Thank you.
It's a all natural.
Yes. I woke up like this and I'm still gorgeous. Emily, how you doing?
Wow. I'm doing better than you, I think.
Really? Mine is I slept a lot.
Yeah. No.
But I'm just behind.
I'm good. I feel like life is good right now. I have therapy tomorrow, which I'm excited about. And I ate a bagel this morning.
Wow, so. big moves.
Yeah, that's it for my updates.
I haven't had breakfast yet, which is weird for me.
That is weird. Have you had a coffee yet?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
That's okay. Why I'm on water now. I'm on my sparkle water because I had my coffee.
Okay. I got scared for a second.
Don't worry. You think I have this much energy without coffee?
I thought it was the 2 extra hours of sleep.
No, that actually makes me more tired.
Really?
Because then I feel like sluggish. I feel like I wake up and I'm like, ugh, I ruined the day. It's over. Better just go lay on the couch now.
Yeah, because we had just talked about this. I did the same thing. I got out of bed a half hour later than normal because I normally call my cousin and talk to my niece and nephews when I'm on.
It's
my
It's really annoying. I will say it's really annoying when there's only one gender of one.
Right.
Like, you want to say nieces and nephews. Your niece and nephews is harder.
Yeah, I always trip up on it.
Yep.
I always call them when I'm on my walk with Daisy. But they called me a little bit earlier this morning. And so then I got it's not a bad thing, but I was like laying in bed talking to them and it threw me off by a half hour. And then by the time I got out of bed, I was like, well, that's it.
Day's done.
The morning's ruined. Guess I'll just watch TikTok for 2 hours instead of working. Like, you know,
can't go back from this.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I wonder if it's like an ADHD thing. Like, we have something set in our head.
And like, if it trips up, we can't do anything.
Yeah. We just get like frozen and we're just like, panic. We don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, we get frozen if there's something like in a half an hour. Right. Yeah. Well, there's nothing we can do between now and that half hour.
Yeah, I've never felt so seen when I saw TikTok talking about that like 2 years ago where they were calling it, what's it? It's like ADHD freeze or ADHD.
Oh, I don't know.
It's something where basically like if you wake up at 9, but you know you have a package being delivered at 1, you're not going to do anything until that package is delivered.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like frozen.
Yes.
And you like don't know what to do.
Yeah. It's like there's a thing, unless you the night before plan out your entire day.
Right.
But if you accidentally skip anything, then broken.
Yeah.
You break. But like if you wake up and you're like, oh, I have nothing to do today. Oh, no, I have something at 1. Okay. That's
everyone.
It. I have something at 1.
I have something at 1, everyone.
That's it. That's the end of it. But if you had planned out your day beforehand, then that's fine.
Yeah. Science.
We are broken in our heads. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. My sister warned me that ADHD gets worse as you get older for women.
No.
And I was like, no, I'm great. But I've noticed more and more, it is harder for me to multitask. I used to be able to use it as a multitask tool, like doing something while listening to someone else.
Yeah.
and it's getting harder.
No.
Yeah. Like, I was, like, doing something on my phone, and Abby was talking to me, and I was like, oh, I haven't listened to anything she'd said. But I fully thought I was.
Right.
And I was like, tune back in and, like, figure it out. And, like, I figured out what she was saying, but I've noticed that happening more and more with me. I'm like, oh, I actually have to give people my undivided attention now.
I don't like that.
It's just weird. I don't like it at all. It's right. Like, is my ADHD, like, getting better? Because most people can't focus. I'm like,
I like having that.
I love having it. Yeah. I'm like, I can get things done. I can multitask.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with me. I'm just, I don't know. There's a worm in here.
No.
There's a worm right there on the, oh. A dead worm
okay,
on the ground.
I would say as long as it's dead.
You don't like alive worms?
No, thank you. I like that it's all shriveled too.
That's disgusting. It was on one of our shoes. That's why.
Probably. Or Blaze brought it in for like a little treat.
No.
Extra protein.
He would have eaten it.
Yeah, true.
All right. What do we got going on today?
Okay. So the Oscars were on Sunday.
And, which one's the Oscars for?
Acting, motion pictures, best makeup. It's like movies.
Movies. Okay.
And maybe TV.
What's Grammys is for music.
Yes.
Oscars is for movies.
I think so.
Which one's TVs?
I thought also Oscars, but maybe not. I think it's just movies. Know. Which one's TVs? I don't know.
So we have the Golden Globes.
I don't know what that's about. Then we have the AMAs.
All right. You relax.
We have so many award shows. And with any good award show, there's always going to be drama and awkward things that happen. So to start, I want to say, like, this is the second most awkward thing, in my opinion, that happened at the Oscars. Ashley Graham, she's the...
Plus-size supermodel?
Is it okay to say, like, or do we just say she's a supermodel?
Oh, no, she is a supermodel.
Right. I never know, like, if we... I feel like I can't keep, like... I'm trying. I would like to try and be up to date. But I feel like it used to be you say plus size model. And now I feel like people are like, no, why do you need to reduce her identity down to plus size? Why can't you just say she's a supermodel? But then other people are like, no, we're celebrating that she's a plus. I don't know. So we're just.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, yes, she is a supermodel.
So she's a supermodel, comma, and she is plus size.
Yes. Unless that's offensive somehow, and then she's just a super, what is it, a plus size supermodel?
I don't know. I don't know.
We're trying. But yeah, so Ashley Graham, she was in charge of interviewing celebrities for ABC's pre-Oscar show.
Yes.
And like, we've seen these since the day we were born, these interviews. They ask the same questions every single time.
Yeah.
Who are you wearing? What are you excited about? They're very vague, open questions because it's what people like to see, you know?
Yeah, and it also makes it so, like, headlines can spin it to whatever they want.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You're not going to be like, how do you like your toast? What does that have to do with anything?
Right. They're looking for good answers. Yeah. And, like, that's you get them by asking these very same questions every single year. So she had a super cringy interview with Hugh Grant. So Hugh Grant's the British actor. He played in Notting Hill, Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah.
And she was asking him all the normal questions that you'd expect to hear during an award show interview. So, for example, she said to him, I'm sure you've seen lots of movies. Are you excited to see anybody win? And he literally, all he said was, no one in particular. So she was like, okay. And trying to recover from his rather uninterested answer, she said, okay, well, what are you wearing tonight? And he said, just my suit. All right. So then in hopes of getting some sort of positive interaction out of him, she decided to ask him about his most recent film that he appeared in, which was Glass Onion. I think you said you had watched it with Abby.
Maybe.
I
don't know.
And she said, so tell me, what does it feel like to be in Glass Onion? It was such an amazing film. I really loved it. I love a good thriller. And he said, well, I'm barely in it. I'm in it for about 3 seconds. Like, dude. And so because Ashley is a freaking queen, she followed his snarky remark with, well, you had fun, right? And all he said was almost. So.
Okay. He's got something going on with himself that night.
Right. She basically just like wrapped up the interview as fast as she could. And after she said bye, they caught it on camera as he's handing back the microphone to like the sound people or whoever. He rolls his eyes and makes like a ooh, like face in the background. Like he's recognizing how
bad that interview went.
Yeah, but
because of him?
Because of him, right. And so I don't know. It was just, and like people are on the internet obviously are like very upset about the whole interaction because they were like, you sign up for this.
Yeah.
when you show up to an awards show, they ask your publicist, your manager, whoever, or you directly, and they say, do you want, like, how many interviews do you want to do? Do you want to do interviews? Whatever. So it's not like his manager just, like, shoved him in front of the camera and was like, oh, go have fun. Like, yeah. You knew.
And he's also done this for a very long time.
Right.
He had an off day.
No.
Oh, dang it. I was trying hard to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because I know everyone can have just an off day, and if it happened on the wrong day, like, that sucks. Okay.
Right. That's what I thought, too, because I had this whole illusion of Hugh Grant. I'm obsessed with the movie Notting Hill. I've watched that since I was...
I don't even know what that is.
It has Julia Roberts. It's like a romantic comedy. It's a really wholesome movie.
Okay.
And I've watched this movie since I was a kid, obsessed with it, love his character. And, you know, he typically plays very wholesome, sweet, mm-hmm. goofy, a little bit awkward, like, British characters that are just, like, these... symbols of, like, a good man.
Yeah.
Like, that's his character that he plays always. So after I was reading about, and, like, I watched the interview and I was reading the tweets and everything, under one of the tweets, someone linked a copy of an old interview he did with Entertainment Weekly back in 2016, where he was admitting to basically being a butthole, openly and proudly. Like, he was, like, bragging about it. Yeah. So he said, I get very annoyed when people think I'm nice or different or a polite English gentleman. I'm a nasty piece of work and people should know that. And then in 2020, he did another interview and he said, Richard Curtis, who wrote all of these romantic comedies that I star in, it always used to make him laugh that people thought I was this nice public Englishman because he knew that exactly the reverse was true, which is why he enjoyed making me play these roles. And then went on to basically brag about how all of the female actresses that he's worked with no longer speak to him because he is such
a trash person.
A trash person on
I
set.
I hate that so much. People like that should not get the spotlight.
Right.
It sucks. And also it sucks because people like you, I don't know who this man is, just immediately kind of like think they must be like their characters when it's right. So far from the truth.
And he's bragging about it.
That's so gross. I hate that so much.
Right. So there was a couple people defending him on Twitter from the UK, basically saying that us Americans are blowing this whole thing out of proportion. His interview with Ashley Graham.
No.
And they were like, it's just English humor. You clearly don't understand. Like, we have a different like type of jokes over here. Like, he's just being, you know, whatever. And then all these like interviews started coming out of the cracks of like him literally admitting
that he's just a jerk.
Right. So that was very weird. And then other awkward things that happened at the Oscars,
he's canceled now. No one's gonna want to work with him anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah. They changed the iconic red carpet to a champagne colored one, which was strange.
What?
So yeah, so are we now supposed to call it like you're walking the champagne carpet? I don't know. A photographer fell while everyone so Lady Gaga was taking photos on the champagne carpet, and
it's just the carpet. That's what people just call it. It's the carpet. You're walking the carpet.
Yes, and as she walked by a photographer, he ended up tripping and falling, and while everyone else just kind of stood around,
she helped
like,
him, didn't she?
Yeah, she
of course
ran.
She did.
Yeah, literally ran in her dress to go and help him up, and then like asked if he was okay, and so she was really nice about that. There's also speculation that Nicole Kidman was drunk before the show because Oh, I know. She was acting really weird on the carpet.
You are struggling with that.
I just don't like it because I've said for decades now, the red carpet, the red.
What do you say about other award shows?
It's always a red carpet, I feel like.
Nope. They just call it the carpet.
That's weird. So she was like when she was taking photos.
I needed that
10 out of 10.
Thank you. Would recommend.
That was good.
Facts, figures, fundamental rights. Let's go.
So she was whipping her head around when she was like taking photos and she was laughing. And like I did watch the video. She was acting very strange, but like
she's probably either she got drunk. Who cares?
Oh, right. I probably would, too.
Oh, I would have to take like 2 to 3 shots before walking a carpet.
Oh, right. The singer/songwriter. I want to say it's pronounced Thames, T-E-M-S. She wore a dress with a massive neck piece in the back. So like think popped collar, but times 20.
Oh man, whoever sat behind her must have been pissed.
Oh yeah, you could see when they kept panning like the shots to her, like people behind her were like trying to duck around her headpiece, trying to like see the stage and they couldn't. So she clearly blocked the view of everyone else behind.
You have to be able to take that off, like walk it with the carpet and then take it off.
Yeah, she didn't. Okay. And then this one, I am deeming, in my opinion, the number one most awkward thing that happened at the Oscars. I almost couldn't make it through the video. All right. Remember a while back we talked about how at an awards show it appeared like Harry Styles had spit on Chris Pine when he was walking back to his seat.
Yes.
And people were like, oh, they must be fighting. I heard there was a fight on set. Like, it's clearly he spit on him. And then neither of them like made comments until Chris Pine said like 2 weeks ago. He was like, no, he didn't spit on me. So, you know, whatever. This happened months ago. Well, Jimmy Kimmel was the host and he decided it would be, you know, just a kooky little idea to ask Malala her opinion on the whole situation. So Malala, the human rights activist, she's when she was a little girl, she got shot in the face by the Taliban.
Who is this person? What?
Yeah, she is a human rights activist and she was fighting for young girls' rights to education and ended up getting shot in the face by the Taliban. And so she became this like massive poster child for children's activism, human rights activism, educational activism. Like, she is this brilliant young woman who is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, like survived this horrible ordeal. She was only attending the award show because, I mean, I don't mean to say like only, but like she's not a movie star, but she was there because she did an entire documentary on this man that overcame Islamophobia. Like, so she's a high class woman.
Yes.
And he decided it would be hilarious to go over to her and approach her with the microphone. And he said, as the youngest Nobel Prize winner in history, I was wondering, do you think Harry Styles actually spit on Chris Pine? And she I don't want to say obviously, but like it was apparent to me that she doesn't either know or care who these people are or know about the situation. Like, she's literally busy.
I would, if they did that to me, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, she was very classy and she responded with, I only talk about peace.
Oh, get it.
Yeah.
Get it.
But you could just feel the audience like retracting into their seat.
I don't think Jimmy Kimmel's all that funny.
I don't watch him, so I don't know much. But
a lot of the late night hosts I don't think are actually
funny.
Yeah, comedians.
Okay, yeah. It was not a great choice. And I will say that he didn't come up with the question. It was like viewers were a month in advance. They were allowed to send in questions either like via Twitter or some other website where they could ask certain, like they could have Jimmy run around and ask certain celebrities these questions.
Yeah, but he just chose the wrong person.
Why? Yeah, why? Like, you could literally ask her anything.
I don't know.
And he chose to ask her about Spitgate. Like,
it's so dumb. Also, you shouldn't have, I don't like award shows. One, like the whole thing, like most of them are rigged or whatever. But also, I've never found them entertaining. They're always awkward. The hosts are always awkward.
Yeah.
The questions, the speeches, it's never funny or entertaining. It's always really awkward to me. I don't get it.
Well, and I don't like watching them because when they cut off the speeches, it literally makes me want to die. Like someone's in the middle of the speech and they start playing the music to get them out. Like, no. I would literally rather watch my dog lick herself for 3 hours than
it's so awkward. I just don't understand any of it.
Yeah.
I really don't.
So, and then the last big thing that about the award show that everyone is upset about, not everyone, but a good majority of people are upset about, is that the movie The Whale won Best Makeup. So The Whale
Isn't that CGI?
No, he had to wear a fat suit.
That's what it was. Oh, Ira was walking through the store yesterday. And I looked over and I was like, oh, I know that guy. Why is he in a fat suit? That was my thought. Like that, because I just saw the DVD cover or whatever. It was like a Redbox thing. And I saw the DVD cover and I was like, why is he in a fat suit?
Yeah.
And then I kept walking.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser. Yeah. So The Whale, in very simple terms, is a movie starring Brendan Fraser. And he's portraying a man suffering from binge eating disorder after his partner dies. And in order to play the role, the makeup department put him in a fat suit and made prosthetics for his face for filming to make him look
bigger.
Yeah. And people have been saying for months that the movie perpetuates harmful anti-fat stereotypes and perspectives. And so when The Whale took home the Oscar for best makeup, people were obviously very upset about this.
Yeah.
And people tweeted things like, Not the Whale winning best makeup, getting praised for making a mockery of fatness and not actually hiring a fat person. Literally just an award for not hiring fat people to play the role. My God. Someone else said, so disappointing that The Whale won the Oscar for best hair and makeup. Fat suits are harmful. They are not your opportunity to win awards. Our identity is not your costume. Cast fat actors to play fat characters.
Yeah.
So, oh, and then someone else tweeted, between the Ozempic and rewarding the makeup team for The Whale, the Oscars are really obsessed with fat phobia tonight, huh? I didn't know what he was talking about, so I did some digging. And they said this because earlier in the night, Jimmy Kimmel said on stage.
Jimmy Kimmel,
what are you doing? He said on stage, everybody looks so great. When I look around the room, I can't help but wonder, is Ozempic right for me? And if you don't know what Ozempic is, it's an anti-diabetic medication that celebrities have
using to lose weight. And now people with diabetes can't get the medication.
Yes. And it's so harmful. And so
is he the one that said that, like, was it Harvey Weinstein's list? No. Who's the dude that went to jail because he got killed in jail because
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. Epstein. I can't remember these people's names. There's too many of them. So that's so sad.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel was saying that, like, someone wanted to see the list, like Aaron Rodgers wanted to see the list or something like that. And he basically was like, you don't need to see the list. That's weird. Like, why do you want to see the list? And, like, made fun of him for wanting to see the list.
Oh, I don't know.
I saw a thing of that. And someone was like, nothing screams I'm on the list more than saying, don't show the list.
Right. That list is so dumb. Who would even want to see that
Only
list?
Only stupid people want to see the list.
Yeah.
I think it was him. And I was like, what the?
That's yeah. Weird. Yeah. So award shows always make for interesting drama.
Yeah. All right, before we move on to anything else, let's check to see if we have a sponsor for today. Sponsor.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
All right. So the McBroom family.
I haven't heard about them in a while.
I know. We haven't talked about them in a hot minute.
Which one's that?
They're the ones that did the Ace Fest.
Okay, the Ace family.
So recently, Austin posted a video to his YouTube channel titled My Untold Story. And basically, you know, for those of you who are watching, so bad, who don't know who the Ace family is, how would you describe them? They're a family YouTube channel.
I don't know. They're a YouTube channel. I'm not sick.
No.
They're a YouTube channel that they do really irresponsible things for views.
Yeah. Yep. So
yeah.
They're just like...
And they don't seem like the nicest.
They really don't, but that
you
is...
You have fuzz on your face.
That is allegedly where.
Right. You know, now it's on your cheek. Now you got it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
My face was itching. Okay, so yeah, Austin, who's the dad of the family, recently posted a video to his YouTube channel titled My Untold Story, where he attempts to explain why he lost the big fight that he had last year against this professional boxer named Gibb and some pretty nasty and controversial truths. Truths? I say truths in very big air quotes.
Allegedly. These are not facts or figures or fundamental rights.
Right. He is claiming these truths. All right. So this whole fight that he had was a pretty big deal because weeks leading up to the fight, Austin was talking all of this trash. He was saying how he was going to win and he was just being obnoxious as he does about the entire situation in general. And mind you, Austin is not a professional boxer.
No.
And the guy he was fighting against is.
Yeah.
So everyone was like making whatever.
How guys think that they can beat Serena Williams at a tennis match.
Right. Just because they're dudes.
Yeah.
You know? And so when it came time for the fight, Gibb wiped the floor with him. Like, it
yeah,
it was so bad, like, it passed the point of funny. So he got knocked out 5 times and then had to go to the hospital after and then hasn't boxed since. So
I would never think I could take on a professional boxer. I don't think I could take on anyone. I'm too like, oh, I didn't mean to hurt you. Like, I don't have right. that drive to just beat someone up.
No. Yeah.
Or the desire to get hit in the face.
No, that's my big one. I don't want it. I want no part of it.
I want no part of it. Please yep. and thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah. So basically, after he got humiliated in the ring, rightfully so, he kind of slithered into a little hole and just like wasn't really talking about it.
Yeah.
And they just kind of focused on traveling and their YouTube channel and like, you know, whatever. So in this video that Austin posted, he said that there is a secret he's been holding on to about this whole fight that he's finally ready to share with the world. And
his ego's been so freaking bruised.
Oh, absolutely.
He's been trying to figure out how to reclaim it.
Oh, absolutely. So he used this video in an attempt to explain the, again, air quotes, real reason he lost. So he goes on to tell this story about how the day before the fight, he was feeling off, but attempted to just, you know, sleep it off. And then the next morning, which was the day of the fight, he woke up feeling horrible. He said in the video that he was having every symptom of COVID, but kept that to himself because he didn't want to risk the fight being canceled. So he talked about how he was sick the entire day, that even on the way to the match, they had to pull over the bus so that he could throw up. And they said that once he got to the arena, he told his trainer about how bad his fever and chills were and that he was extremely sick. And his trainer said that he would take care of it. So we got him electrolytes and cold blankets and, you know, the works. And the commission ended up coming into his, like, dressing room, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it, your waiting room.
Yeah.
And they asked him several questions about his health because they knew something was up by, like, his appearance and the way he was acting. But he kept denying everything and lied to them. And he just kept saying he ate something bad and that his stomach was upset. And I don't think I said this. All of this is on film. Because they were planning on making a video about the whole fight.
Okay.
And it was shot documentary style because I guess he was really that convinced he was going to win that he needed to produce a documentary about his win.
Okay.
And so all of this is on film and he's posting it in this video, these clips of him lying to the commission, to him being super sick, him like throwing up outside of the bus, you know, whatever. And
did he think he was going to win and it'd be even cooler that he won not feeling well?
Maybe.
So do you think he was actually sick?
I think he was sick, yeah.
Okay.
And then, so he said in the video, he literally said, yeah, I was lying to them, so they wouldn't stop the fight, but I knew deep down inside I was not okay. And then he was so sick that the trainer had to actually sneak in a nurse and an IV into the venue, which is absolutely against the rules.
Yeah.
You can't do a sporting event and get an IV an hour before it.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're that sick, like, so they had to sneak this person in. And after losing the fight, he went to the hospital right away. And then he said in the video, I immediately tested positive for COVID.
So he fought with COVID.
And exposed thousands of people. Thousands. Like, knowingly. Like, he literally said in the video, I woke up, I had every symptom of COVID. And then I went to the hospital and tested for COVID. And that he, like, admitted that he lied. He admitted that he snuck this nurse in. He admitted all this stuff.
Does he think that we're going to be like, oh, yeah, you should fight again and not be like, what the frick, dude?
I think he is so narcissist and egotistical, allegedly, that he thought by posting this video, he was going to be praised for fighting sick and it was going to make him look better. Like, oh, he's not weak. He's not bad at boxing. He just had COVID. Not realizing that, like, you're literally admitting to exposing thousands of people.
And lying to officials.
Right. Like, you are going to be potentially banned for the rest of your life.
Yes.
From, like, official fights. But that is how toxic he is with his masculinity, where he would rather admit to exposing thousands of people to a deadly virus than just admit that he got beat by a professional boxer. Like, how in your head?
I can't believe he wouldn't be like, I'm sick. I can't fight. I want to fight at my best. Let's postpone 2 weeks.
No, because he had been hyping and hyping and hyping. And I can't remember if he said in the video or like someone else said in the video talking to him, but basically talking about how they can't postpone because it'll look bad. It'll look like he's scared or look like he's not ready or like, you know, whatever. It's just like this whole toxic masculinity.
You take a freaking COVID test and be like, look, it's positive. I cannot fight.
Well, and that's what someone else was saying is they were saying there was actually a whole like Reddit thread theory. There were several videos posted about it.
Well, we know those aren't always true.
Yes. But someone posted, a lot of people posted saying that they don't believe he actually had COVID. Like, yeah, he might have had like a cold or something, but they don't believe he actually had COVID because it's part of the rules that you have to test the fighters before they go in the ring. So they're like, are you that desperate to prove that you're not a bad fighter that you're going to lie about having COVID? And like, it is such a weird situation. And then people are even more mad at him because at the end of the video, he said that his fever was so high that the hospital wanted to keep him for observation overnight, but that he refused and wanted to go home and spend time with his family, his three young children.
What?
He has three children.
I don't understand any of this.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. He's so toxic that he truly believes admitting to exposing your children, exposing these people, lying to this commission is better, a better look than just admitting that you lost a fight, like fair and square. Like, that is how warped his brain is. Is he is like, oh, yeah, that'll make me look better. Could you imagine?
He's not going to be able to fight again. No one's going to want to fight him.
Mm-mm.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just dumb.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
All right. In short news, Lindsay Lohan is pregnant.
Okay.
So she posted a photo on Tuesday to her Instagram of a baby onesie with the words coming soon written on the onesie. And her caption said, we are blessed and excited. And she's having her baby with her husband. I'm going to try and pronounce this. Bader Shamas? Shamas?
Nah.
He's a financer, so he's not in like the celebrity Hollywood world. Yeah, so he's a financer, and they're expecting their first child.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay, Lil Nas X got in trouble yesterday after he... I like him.
I do too, so I'm sad.
Yeah. He got in trouble yesterday after tweeting a picture of a woman who looks eerily similar to him with the caption, the surgery was a success. So...
Yeah. Not right now.
Not right now.
Don't do that right now.
Not right now.
Not right now. Yeah. Well, you know, mm-hmm. trans people are, mm-hmm. you know, their rights might be taken and how drag queens are being illegal. Yeah. Somehow it's illegal to be a drag queen, though.
Yeah. When I saw this photo that he posted of this woman, I literally thought he had taken a photo of himself and put it into like Facetune or FaceApp and chose like, like that is how similar she looked. But yeah, obviously transitioning jokes are not the money move right now when that particular community is
under fire
and being attacked by all this legislation. And when I was like looking at this and I was like seeing people's responses in their tweets, I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize it was this bad. So around the U.S., there are over 400 anti-trans bills currently in circulation right now.
Yep.
400.
Yep.
I hate it here.
We're still fighting for those fundamental rights.
Yeah.
To exist as human beings.
Mm-hmm. So after receiving tons of backlash, he tweeted out an apology saying, apologies to the trans community. I def handled that situation with anger instead of considering why it was not cool. Much love to you guys. Sorry. And then someone called out his apology tweet saying that it was like fake and not like heartfelt. And that the way that he really could show that he's sorry and, you know, support the trans community is to donate money and like, you know, support them like monetarily. And they said he can show his support for the community in material ways that include money and sharing his platform to raise awareness. And Lil Nas X wrote back to this girl, eat my butt.
What? Come on.
I liked him.
Me too. You can just ignore those comments, dude. You don't have to respond.
Yeah. But no.
That's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. All right. Let's check to see one more time if we have another sponsor for today. Sponsor.
This is my official request.
No. Denied. Oh, sorry. So you're supposed to hear it first.
My official request is that we have a segment called Things I Learned on the Internet This Week.
Okay.
I feel like that applies to this podcast.
I mean, that's what this entire podcast is for me.
Okay, great. So I would like to talk about this viral TikTok that's going around right now, where a woman whose handle is the Pagey Page posted about how she can feel when her egg is being released from her ovary.
Heard that. I don't believe you.
Okay, well, they talked to the scientists. And so she posted this TikTok, went mega viral. All these news articles are being written about her because no one's heard of this or ever talks about this. And she basically said she can feel when her egg is being released from her ovary during ovulation. And apparently it's way more common than anyone can imagine. So she said that one day.
I am not in tune with my body enough for that.
Me neither. So she said one day while she was at work, she felt a really sharp pain in her ovaries. And that's. And
where are my ovaries?
Like right here, I think, right?
I mean, my whole body just hurts when I have my period.
Well, this would be during ovulation. So I think this is like 2 weeks before your period starts.
Oh, I would just think I had gas.
Same. But okay. It could potentially be your egg being released from your ovary. And so she said that this happens to her every single cycle and that she when she's in the middle of her cycle and not on her period. And after telling her coworker that she was feeling this weird pain, her coworker said, that sounds like, dear God, help me.
Let me see it.
Mittelschmerz. Okay, great. And then asked if she was ovulating. And after looking at her health app, she found out that she was ovulating. And she said, Mittelschmerz is when you when you physically feel a egg popping out of your ovaries to go down into your fallopian tube. And of course, this started a whole discussion.
What?
Yeah.
Ah! Oh, I gotta pee now. I really have to pee. Keep talking.
Okay. So do you want to pause?
Yeah.
Come.
Whew. I feel better now. I kind of want to wiggle about it.
So after she posted this TikTok, a bunch of people started commenting saying that they were having a similar experience. And someone even said, I can tell which side I'm ovulating from each month, and it's very real. And this is also something else I learned.
It's every other?
I didn't know that.
No idea.
I thought both of your ovaries released eggs.
I thought so too.
And so now I'm wondering if that's why some months my periods are like literally unbearable. And then other months, like my period this week, like I barely had any cramps. I barely bled. Like everything was fine. But
one ovary hates you more than the other.
That's what I'm saying. Is that
facts,
a thing?
Figures. Unrightfully a fundamental right.
Yes. So according to the Mayo Clinic, refers to one-sided lower abdominal pain associated with ovulation. And it's the German word for middle pain, and it occurs around midway through your menstrual cycle, about 14 days before your next period.
I do get shooting pains every once in a while, but I go, I'm just dying.
I always just thought it was gas.
A gas, or I'm like, well, this is the end.
Like, no one teaches us these things.
All right, so next time I have a shooting pain, I'm going to check where it is, and if I'm ovulating, and what? I don't want to feel it because it always hurts.
Right.
It's so painful.
Yeah. So apparently this occurs in 20% of women. So 1 in 5.
All right.
Like, what the heck?
Bet. Let's see.
Yeah. So, all right. You ready for some good news?
Yes, always.
Always. All right. A man in China was caught on film climbing up the side of a building using nothing more than his bare hands and a drain pipe. So he was like Spider-Manning up this drain pipe. To make a 2-story climb to where he saved a child who had fallen out of a window from the floor above. Yeah. So the toddler was stuck on the ledge of the apartment building crying. And once and the man was just walking. And we don't know anything about this man because after they saved the child, he shimmied back on down the drain pipe and went on his merry way.
So, what?
Yeah. So no one knows his name. No one knows what he was up to. But to people that were there and got interviewed after, it just looked like he was, you know, just like walking on to work or like to the market or something and heard, like looked up and heard this kid crying and just like sprung into action.
We love him.
Yeah. So he climbed up to the ledge where the kid was stuck. He was able to secure a rope around the child's waist that a neighbor from up above had lowered out of his window and helped hoist the child back up to safety. And the kid is fine, just has a few scratches on him.
Wow. Just a really good Samaritan guardian angel in that moment.
Yeah. Also, there's this, it just made me think of this. This is ADHD side story. I was watching this documentary on like Discovery Channel or, you know, whatever. This was pre-YouTube. And it was talking about, it was a whole documentary on odds and statistics in nature. Mm-hmm. And it was basically talking about how if you're like in a room, I don't want to tell wrong odds, but you know, that's what this documentary is about. And one of the stories it told is there was this man, in some big city, and he was walking and he heard a kid screaming, and he looked up and there's this kid hanging from his balcony. He had slipped through like the railings in the balcony. And so he stood below him, and when the kid like couldn't hold on anymore, he literally caught the child.
Yeah.
He was like 2 years old, caught the child. Child was fine, everything, whatever. He was walking that same path 2 years later. The same kid slipped through the railings and he caught him again. So like,
don't you think the parents would put up a paneling?
You would think.
Or the kid would be like, I'm scared of that. Really? Not going to do it again.
Darwinism at its finest.
So the odds of that happening were...
Yeah, that's what they were talking about in this documentary is like the odds that, you know, he happened to be walking at the same time. The kid happened to fall out again.
What is with this kid?
Right.
Kid.
Maybe the kid saw him coming and was like, oh, I remember you.
Yeah, want to do it again?
Right.
We have some fun.
After the earthquakes in Turkey hit, rescuers from around the world came to help with the recovery missions and obviously brought their dogs along with them.
Duh.
So there were people and dogs that came from the U.S., Israel, El Salvador, Mexico, Qatar, South Korea, a bunch of, you know, places. And more than 140 dogs have come to help. And now with the rescue missions finally coming to an end, the dogs are headed home. And the national carrier, which is Turkish Airlines, has given each and every dog a first class seat to honor their heroism. Aww. Do you think the handlers have to like sit in economy?
No, the handlers sit in with the dog.
The dogs are like being served with like warm towels and dog biscuits, and everyone else is like back in economy, like rattling around.
No, they you have to sit with your animal. Yes,
it was very cute. All right, this one got, tell me why. I was writing this at like 1 a.m. last night and sobbing.
Oh my god,
in my dark bed. All right,
in your what bed?
Like my dark bedroom.
I thought you said your dork bed.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what?
Just a kooky little bed.
Okay, I was like, that. Okay. We haven't used the word dork in a very long time. I'm pretty sure we're not supposed to use it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that word since like high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there's a pond inside the Riverside Cemetery in Marshalltown, Iowa. And it was, for many years, a host to two geese named Blossom and Bud.
Naturally.
So, oh my lordy. Wow.
Was it you or Blaze?
It wasn't me.
Okay, well, good job, Blaze.
My God.
I'm proud of you.
It doesn't even smell like eggs. It just smells like straight up poop. Okay, my mouth is open. All right.
He had treats this morning when he trained.
Yeah. So if you don't know, geese mate for life. So after Bud died last August, Blossom was very sad and could be seen wandering around the cemetery, seemingly looking for her mate.
Okay.
And according to Good News Network, general manager of the cemetery, Dory Tannen, maybe, noticed that Blossom would spend hours a day staring at herself in the shiny reflections of the tombstones by the cemetery office. And she realized that she thought she was hanging out with another goose, so that she was lonely.
Oh.
So
stupid goose.
Silly logos. So Tammin posted on Facebook a female seeking male ad, and he, in the caption, he said, "Lovely widowed goose with a youthful, adventurous, and lively personality looking for a life partner and companionship and occasional shenanigans." And he posted this as a joke, along with a picture of her staring at her reflection. But it ended up working because he received a surprise email from two people named Deb and Randy Hoyt, who had a widower goose named Frankie, who was in the same sort of heartbroken mess. Yeah. So the Hoyts told CBS News that when they saw the ad for Blossom, they thought, well, that'd be great. So the three humans set up a Valentine's Day date for the two geese.
Oh.
And soon enough, they were seen swimming around the pond at Riverside and content to be together. And they said they ended the day by the two geese walking off together, and they haven't left each other's side since.
Well, that's nice.
I was a mess over this.
Oh, Em.
How does the geese? Oh,
that's
so
really
sad.
Cute.
Yeah. All right, that's it for our good news.
Did you have any questions?
Oh, always.
Okay, let's hit them.
Okay. I know we haven't had time for questions in a while.
I know. I didn't go on a really long 20-minute rant to this morning, just a 5-minute rant.
Well, and it's just like, the internet was pretty quiet this week because everyone's still obsessed with like the Haley and Selena drama. And like, we have had a bunch of comments asking like why we haven't talked about it. And it's just like, it's because it's talked about.
Also, it's all like just little speculations. Like,
right.
Selena isn't saying anything. Haley isn't saying anything. Justin's not saying anything. It's just like people surface old videos of like someone rolling their eyes.
And they're like pitting each other, like two women against each other. Like I will admit I enjoy watching the videos talking about how Haley's like been copying Selena, because I do find those like funny and interesting.
But we already talked about that.
Yeah, like Selena will post like a baby photo and then 2 days later Haley will post a baby photo and Selena posts a quote, then Haley posts the same quote. Like I find that stuff funny. Like I'll watch videos like that, but like the whole like finding any little thing they can to pit like two women against each other, and like I don't care.
Yeah, unless one of them actually does something
mean.
Yeah, like other than that it's just like weird stuff. But yeah. Like we've talked about it. Oh, what just happened? There's no more room in our memory card on our camera. 1 second, please. We's back. Sorry. Emily messed up.
I did.
That was
my bad.
Oh, not getting a raise this year. So it negates the 2 minutes early you got here.
Dang it.
All right. Try. What were we talking about? Oh, you were just crying about the geese. Questions. Time for questions.
Oh, no, that we're not talking about the Haley Selena.
Oh,
thing.
We're not talking about it.
It's like there.
So let's keep talking about how we're not talking about it.
Yeah, well, because everyone keeps commenting, they're like, why haven't they talked about it? Why aren't you talking? My DMs are flooded. I don't think we did.
Didn't we?
Mm-mm. I've been purposely avoiding it because they're just like, if you want to like know about that, there's so many T channels that have like very specific videos dedicated to that.
I thought we talked about it.
No.
Oh. I also like went on a TikTok spiral watching it, and I was just like, because I was like, what happened? And it's that they made fun of Haley. And her friends,
Kylie.
And Kylie seemingly made fun of Selena Gomez's eyebrows.
Seemingly, yeah.
And then everyone just went, Haley's a mean girl.
Yeah.
And pulled up all these videos of her either copying Selena or being a mean girl. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
Well, and like, Haley could be a mean girl. Like, they could have been making fun of her. Like, you know, like, it could be all these things. But that's the thing is, like, we don't actually know. No one's come forward and said anything. Like, Selena hasn't come forward and been like, yeah, Haley's mean and I don't like her. Like, yeah. Haley hasn't come forward and been like, I hate Selena. Like, you know, no one's come forward to confirm anything. There's thousands upon thousands of videos covering this topic.
You didn't want to be a part of the gossip part of women pitting women against each other?
Yeah. I mean, and it's just like, I don't know.
I thought we talked about it. That's my bad. Who did I talk about it with? I thought we brought it up.
I don't know. I don't think so, because just the amount of sheer comments of people asking why we haven't talked about it.
I guess I talked about it with someone else. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it with each other.
Oh, but I just assume there's always a microphone in front of our faces, so who knows?
Yeah, but all right. Yeah, I mean, I just want to make it very clear. I'm not taking anyone's side. I'm not supporting anyone or hating on anyone. And I don't want to say I don't care, because I do watch the videos. It's just me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I just don't want to report on it.
It's all just like, I don't know.
It's all just speculation. It's all just mean girl behavior. And there are thousands upon thousands of videos about it.
Okay. So, all right.
That's
whatever.
That's my rationale.
I don't choose what we talk about on this channel. All right. Let's get some questions going, though.
All right. What is the weirdest food combination that you enjoy?
Oh, I've answered this. Mayo on bagels.
Oh, I have.
Summer has introduced me to ketchup on tacos.
No.
It's all very white people things. Orange juice and Oreos.
No. Like you dunk them?
Yeah.
No.
I don't do it often, but I have done it and it's pretty good. I don't know. I don't know what else.
I think that's good enough.
All right. What about you?
You know me, how I am with food.
You don't like anything.
I don't like anything, and I need everything separated. When I eat, I literally have individual bowls.
Like, she loves raw bell pepper, but hates cooked bell pepper.
Yeah.
Everything is texture for her.
Everything's texture. I can't have, and I don't like too many flavors at once, and I don't like my foods touching. So, like, I would say the
childhood trauma.
The one thing that I do get made fun of for is, and I think we talked about this on one of your live streams, is I love it has to be penne pasta.
Yeah.
Undercooked.
Okay.
Dipped in Caesar salad dressing.
I mean, that's just delicious.
Right.
So the thing is, taste is subjective.
Yeah.
And just because people don't do these combinations doesn't mean they're not really good.
Yeah.
So, sure. Like, pour some Caesar salad dressing. Oh. No, Caesar salad dressing on your raw penne pasta.
It has
get
to be cold, cold pasta. Can't be
warm.
That's
just pasta salad.
Thank you. But I get made fun of relentlessly for this.
I don't know. People just
it.
Do you. Do you, people.
I'll eat it like carrots and ranch. I'll just take the cold penne and just dip it in the Caesar. And
I would put it in a bowl, mix it up, and eat it.
I do that too sometimes, and I'll put some Parmesan on top. It's real
that
good.
That sounds delicious. That sounds like a pasta salad to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I needed this.
Okay.
All right. If you had to live as an animal for 1 year, which one would you choose and why?
Oh, God. It's either a bird so I could fly or a fish so I could swim. No, ocean scares me.
Yes.
I choose bird to fly.
Okay.
I don't want any predators, though, but I do want to be cute.
Ooh. Okay, if you don't have any predators, then you become apex, and then you're hunted by humans.
Humans suck.
Yeah.
What about an owl?
You could be an owl.
I could be. Well, I don't want to eat mice.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
I'd be a little, like, lovebird. I just tweet, tweet.
That's
but then,
cute. But
people would try and just put me in a cage.
Yes, I was going to say.
And I don't like owning birds. I don't want to put a bird in a cage. Yeah. Birds are meant to fly. I also don't like putting fish in fish tanks.
Yeah.
This is hard.
Yeah.
This is really hard, but I'd want to be a sort of bird.
A sort of bird. One that can fly. So not a penguin.
No.
Okay.
Or a chicken.
Or a chicken. I want to be a rich person's dog.
Okay.
I want to come back as one of those purse dogs.
Oh,
for
yeah,
a celebrity.
Yeah.
First class treatment. Get to fly all over the world.
Okay.
Get to go do fun things.
Just poop wherever you want.
Poop wherever you want. Sleep all day.
Yeah.
That's what I want to come back as.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I want to fly.
I love that.
I'd want to swim, but the ocean scares me.
Mm-mm.
No, I feel like there's a lot more fear in the ocean than the sky.
I saw a picture. It was on this BuzzFeed, like, photo slide on Instagram, and it was like pictures that put things in perspective for you, and it was someone that was about to like land in Hawaii or like was taking off from Hawaii, and they took a photo out of the airplane window of a whale in the ocean, and it was really zoomed in, and then when they posted the not zoomed in photo, the whale literally looks like a speck of dust on a huge blue piece of paper, and it's like a massive whale.
Nope.
Like the biggest thing that my brain can conceptualize in animal form, literally I would have missed it on the photo because the ocean is so...
Nope. No, thank you. I am scared of ocean.
Yeah,
Danny and Summer really want me to learn how to scuba dive.
No.
And I'm terrified.
No, thank you.
Why would I do it? Mm-mm. Give me a reason. I don't need to go diving for anything. I know what's down there. No, I don't. That's the reason.
I like that you just worked through this in your head.
Yeah, not doing it. Thank you. Next question.
Mm-hmm. This one was cute. What's your favorite thing about yourself?
Oh, God, there's so many things.
How much time do we have?
I love how logical I am.
Okay.
I love that. I don't know. I think I have a good head on my shoulders and I'm emotionally stable.
Okay.
My therapist told me yesterday that I'm very emotionally stable. And I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
I do love that. I also love that I'm hilarious.
Okay.
And that I'm attractive.
I love all these things.
Yeah, I'm pretty well-rounded. Maybe not so humble.
Wow.
But
what?
How could you be when you're this amazing?
I love that. He doesn't want my pets right now. Hurts my feelings, boys.
He likes scratches. He doesn't like a lot of face stuff. He likes neck, body, butt.
Because Daisy loves having her ears rubbed, but it seems to... Oh.
He doesn't... He's into it sometimes. He's a fickle boy.
A fickle boy.
What is your favorite thing about yourself? That you're hilarious?
No, I love how I show up for other people. That's my favorite thing for myself. I will always show up for someone no matter what time, what I'm doing, how busy. Like, I love that if someone needs me, I love how I show up for them.
Mm.
Emotionally or physically.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. I feel very like.
You just got one thing?
Oh. Well, that was your favorite. That's my favorite. But I
don't like choosing favorites.
But I also love how appreciative I am of a lot of stuff. I feel like I've worked really hard over the past year to nail that one down, to like appreciate like when I get good things or good things happen to me, or just like appreciate small things.
Yeah.
So I love that now that I've learned to do that. And
I love how open I am to growing.
Yes. Receptive to feedback and change.
Not feedback.
Oh. Just grow on your terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want one more?
Yeah, because we only have one more, which is, which of the five senses is your strongest?
Not smelling or tasting.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at both of those. I had to get surgery on my eyes, but I also don't pay attention when people hear touch.
Okay, there we go. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, physical touch is my number one love language.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with touch.
It's not words of affirmation because you just like can't hear it.
Pretty much.
Acts of service. You can't see it.
Oh, I'm actually a giant bundle of different love languages. Same. Because everyone in my life has had a different one. Yeah. And so I've had to learn to adapt to those.
Yeah.
And also like physical touch. My best friend Wintling does not like when people touch her unless she's in a romantic relationship with them. So I could never give love with her that time.
Yeah.
But her love language is quality time. So I was like, bet. And so I had to learn to adapt to other people's love languages.
Yeah.
But the only one I can't really seem to grasp is I can give gifts all day long. I will give you a gift to show my love. It's really hard for me to accept that as love.
Yeah, same. I just don't care. I'm very neutral.
I will think of it more of as an act of service of like, oh, you thought of me.
Yeah.
But like,
you don't need to prove your love through gifts.
I don't need people to give me gifts to prove their love at all.
Right.
Acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch. Those are the other four. I need all of those.
Right.
Because I've learned to give all of those. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I give it to you. You should give it back.
Right.
Equals.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really good. I like brag about this all the time, which, you know, is probably not good. But I brag all the time about how I hit all five. Like, there's not one I'm missing.
Oh, I don't miss a single one. Giving not a chance.
Yeah.
You're going to get it from every freaking angle with me.
And then the people were are like, whoa.
Okay.
Let's take it down.
I literally just needed you to tell me I'm pretty.
We're like, we cleaned your apartment. I wrote you a love letter.
I bought you a new air fryer. I have 3 hours of undivided attention to give you. Come cuddle.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we a little much? Maybe. Will our people ever doubt our love? Never. Not a chance. All right. I think that's going to be it because we're out of everything.
I know. This went fast.
No, we're at 55 minutes.
Okay.
So we're good. Love you guys. Please subscribe. Please follow. If you have anything you'd like us to talk about, please DM Emily or leave in the comments below. Also, we're going to need more questions.
I know.
We're out. So please give us your questions if anything you want. It doesn't have to be on topic. It can be whatever.
Just don't ask us how to come out to your family.
Because we don't know. That is each person's individual thing.
Yeah.
I love you. Just be safe.
Yeah.
That's my only thing. Make sure it's going to be physically safe for you.
Yes.
All right. I love you guys and we'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of All Things Internet. Please make sure to like and follow our podcast on whichever platform you're currently listening to it on. And make sure to follow us at PodcastATI on Twitter, where you can ask questions and get the latest updates on our show. We love you. Thanks for listening. I'm Rachel Ballinger, and this has been All Things Internet.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. Wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.